So the epistle for the Feast of the Assumption is taken from Judith, chapter 13. The Lord had blessed thee by his power, because by thee he had brought our enemies to naught. Blessed art thou, O daughter, by the Lord the Most High God, above all women upon the earth. Blessed be the Lord who made heaven and earth, who hath directed thee to the cutting off the head of the prince of our enemies. Because he hath so magnified thy name this day, that thy praise shall not depart out of the mouth of men, who shall be mindful of the power of the Lord forever. For thou hast not spared thy life by reason of the distress and tribulation of thy people, but hast prevented our ruin in the presence of our God. Thou art the glory of Jerusalem, thou art the joy of Israel, thou art the honor of our people. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. The Gospel is taken from Luke chapter 1. At that time Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost, and she cried out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence it is to me that the mother of my Lord shall come to me? For behold, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the infant in my womb leapt for joy. And blessed art thou that thou hast believed, because those things shall be accomplished that were spoken to thee by the Lord. And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, because he hath regarded the humility of his handmaid. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed, because he that is mighty hath done great things to me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is from generation unto generations to them that fear him. Please be seated. We will not learn it in books, but only on our knees. In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. For those of you with a really good memory, I said that exact quote for the Assumption last year, but I'm going to have a different example of that and what it means. Obviously, today we celebrate the feast of Our Lady, that she was assumed body and soul into heaven by the power of God. And so from that is a privilege that is granted to her because she was the Mother of God. She was immaculately conceived, all of these things, because then she was to be the mother of Almighty God. This mystery, this idea of her being assumed in body and soul into heaven, is what St. Maximilian Kolbe refers to when he talks about that we can't really learn it in books. It is only on our knees that we learn this true mystery. Mystery of how Our Lady then, by the power of God, was assumed into heaven. And so it's important for us then to understand what St. Maximilian Kolbe was referring to. His feast day we celebrated yesterday. The day before that, it was Our Lady Refuge of Sinners, which will tie in then to the example that I'll give in the sermon tonight. And so from that, as I say, it's a good lesson that we look to and think about by prayer. By prayer, because a lot of times with the faith, yes, our faith is composed sometimes of mysteries, mysteries that we are to believe, yet we may not have a tangible answer to it, a concrete answer, but it is because of our faith, then therefore we must believe. And so the example actually comes from the retreat that Father Brandler preached for us, that I was just on just a few weeks, or last week, or the week before. Time is already flying by. So I appreciate your prayers for that. But it was an example that Father Brandler gave to us, one of the power and the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary. But then also we look at the power of the miraculous medal. And so from that, the example that he gave to us, one example, he gave two different examples. But the example that I'll give to you tonight was the story of the conversion of Alphonse Ratisbonne. Maybe you've heard the story, maybe you haven't. He was of the Jewish faith. It was something that his older brother, Theodore, his older brother converted to the Catholic faith. And he even then became a priest, to the point then Alphonse vowed that he would never speak to his brother ever again because of that fact, because he converted to the Catholic faith. And so for him, there was a deep-seated hatred of the Catholic Church, one that he mocked the Catholic Church as being superstitious, the practices that the Catholic faith had, what they practiced, all of these things were superstitious. And so for him, he had this hatred then of the Catholic faith. And so as he was traveling Europe in preparation for, he was going to get married. So he was traveling in 1842. And so just for sake of reference, remember that in 1830 is when then Our Lady appeared to St. Catherine Labouré with the image of the miraculous medal for her to then be able to give out to people this miraculous medal, this medal that would carry miracles, whether a conversion or miracles of then, in health, bringing people back to their health. So that's where it gained the title of being miraculous. And so as he was traveling Europe in 1842, he ran into a former classmate of his, Gustavo de Brusieres. He was a Protestant, but they renewed this friendship, and he talked to him. And then from that, as he was trying to visit his friend Gustavo, he met his brother Theodore, another Theodore, who was also a convert to the Catholic faith. And so knowing that this Theodore had a lot of knowledge of the history of Europe, and so for him then, he would talk to him and trying to gain some of this knowledge. And so therefore they became friends. But as they were talking in different times, Alphonse would mock the Catholic Church, mock the practices of the Catholic Church, full knowing that Theodore was a Catholic. And so he put up with it, but he made him a proposition. And so he told then Alphonse, he says, well, do me a favor. He said, if you say we're friends, and he said, you mock our faith and you mock the practices that we have in our faith as being superstitious. He said, do me a favor and wear this miraculous medal. And so Alphonse, wanting to keep their friendship, thought to himself and even said out loud in front of Theodore, he said, if it does me no good, then at least it won't do me any harm. So that was his thought process on the miraculous medal. And so then, therefore, he wore the miraculous medal. He thought he was done, but Theodore told him, he said, nope, he said, there's one other thing I ask of you. He said, I want you to wear that every day, but he said, I also want you to say a special prayer of St. Bernard of Clairvaux. He said, I want you to say the Memorare twice a day, in the morning and in the evening. You must promise that you will say this. So again, for Alphonse, it was a matter of, fine, we're friends, I'll do this stupid thing for you. And so he agreed, and so therefore he memorized the Memorare so that he could say it every morning and every evening. Little did he know of how much influence then this would have over then his soul. Again, he thought these were just superstitious practices, wearing this miraculous medal. He thought all of this was just pure superstition. But then by saying that prayer, the graces would end up flowing into him. And so then Theodore, being a Catholic, he went back to a lot of his friends and told them, he said, look, I want you to pray for this Jew. I want you to pray for him to convert. He said, I have him wearing the miraculous medal. I have him saying the Memorare twice a day, but I still want you then to pray for his conversion. And so one of Theodore's friends, a Catholic, was an older gentleman nearing the end of his life. And so he decided, he was a baron, so he decided that he would go and that he would offer his life for the conversion of Alphonse. And so therefore he went to a church and he prayed 20 memoraries for his conversion. After he prayed the 20th one, he died of a heart attack. In a sense, God took his offering. And so from that, so then Theodore, realizing that his friend has passed away, Alphonse came to meet with him and he told him, he said, well, we need to go to a church. And so he asked him for what? And he said, well, I have to prepare for the burial for my friend. He said, just come with me. That's all I ask you. Just come with me into the church. So they went to a church in Rome, Santa Andrea. And so they went there. And so Alphonse walked around the church, looked around, While his friend Theodore went and talked to the priest about arranging then the burial for his friend who passed away. And at that moment, after he had left and he went to talk to the priest, the Blessed Virgin Mary appeared to Alphonse. And so for him, he recognized her because she was the one that was on his miraculous medal. So he recognized who she was. And he was given at that point the grace to see, one, the gravity of his sins, but then also he was able to see the truth of the Catholic faith. In this instance, and so obviously it's attributed to him praying the memoraries each day, wearing of the miraculous medal, and then obviously the sacrifices and the prayers of the other Catholics, in praying for him to receive this grace. And so for him, at that point, he knelt down at an altar that was dedicated to Saint Michael, and he realized, he was sobbing, he realized that he must go see a priest. And so when Theodore came back to find his friend now kneeling at this altar, sobbing, he knew something had happened. And he asked him, he said, "What is it?" He said, "I can't tell you." He said, "I need to see a priest immediately." So he told him, he said, "Okay, fine." So he took him to go see a priest. And so as I say, for Alphonse, it was a moment of grace. He could see the gravity of his sins. He could see the truth of the Catholic Church, and therefore he wanted to convert. So he told the priest, he said, "I've seen her." And so the priest asked him, he said, "You've seen who?" Because he had no idea what he was talking about. So he comes right in, and he said, "I have seen her." And he shows him his miraculous medal. "I have seen her." He said, "I need to convert." And so the priest said, "Fine." And so therefore then the priest went through convert classes with him. And so he went on retreat. And so you can see the seriousness for him then of that, this point of the truth of the Catholic faith. I must go all the way. And so he did. He went on retreat. He converted. And then he realized after his conversion that his family would have nothing to do with him. Just as he had said the same thing about his brother, Father Theodore Ratisbonne. You know, he wanted nothing to do with him anymore. He realized his own family would have nothing to do with him. And so then he stayed. He stayed away from his family. And the more he contemplated, the more he realized that God was calling him to the priesthood. And so then he would then end up converting too. And it's interesting, at that church in Rome, then there would be this picture, what is called Our Lady of the Miracle. It's very similar to, obviously, Our Lady on the Miraculous Medal. And so, St. Maximin Kolbe, who I mentioned at the very beginning, that is where he would say his first Mass ever. After he was ordained, he would say it at that altar because he was intrigued by this conversion. He was intrigued by the conversion because of the power of the Blessed Virgin Mary and the power of the miraculous medal. I mean, that is why, as Knights of the Immaculata of St. Maximin Kolbe, you wear the miraculous medal because he saw the power of that. The power of that conversion. And so for Father Brandler, if you don't know Father Brandler, he's been here for the chess tournament. His father converted from the Jewish faith. And so for him, it holds a very dear part in his heart, this whole story, because he said as when he was growing up, he and his brother always wanted to be the Ratisbonne brothers. They wanted to become priests like that. Unfortunately, his brother David would die of a brain tumor. And that is what Father Brandler suffered himself. But I think it's interesting that he brought this story up on our retreat, because obviously with all of our retreats, we always usually end with the power of the Blessed Virgin Mary, the intercession of Our Lady, and the importance of our priesthood with the Blessed Virgin Mary. So I thought it was fitting then, with this Feast of the Assumption, with St. Maximin Kolbe, to also to tie in that fact, as I mentioned, just the idea of, yes, a lot of times through books, different things of that nature, through our studies, we'll never be able to completely understand miracles. But through our prayers and our devotion, a lot of times we can have a greater understanding of these things. Maybe we're not the most learned of people, but it really depends on how much of a faith do we have? How strong of convictions do we have? How much do we believe in then the miraculous medal that we wear? Do we believe that it has this miraculous power? A power of conversion? A power of healing someone? I mean, that is why it has that title, because of the powers that it has. And so this story of Father Alphonse Ratisbonne, here you have someone who hated the Catholic Church, to all of a sudden would not only come to find the truth of the Catholic Church, but then would convert to become a priest. All that because of the wearing of the miraculous medal. All that because of saying the Memoraries each day. And as I said, for him, he memorized the prayer. He memorized to where he could say it every day, twice a day. And so for us, really, when we look at that, could we really think that Our Lady would not end up converting him? Once he started wearing the miraculous medal, once he started saying the Memoraries, he was hers. Whether he was willing to believe it or not, well, look what it took for him. This miracle that appeared before his eyes, just because he was wandering around the church. For him, he was probably admiring the architecture or whatever it may be. But then when Our Lady appeared to him, then that's when he fell on his knees and he realized the truth of the Catholic Church and the mercy of Almighty God because of his great sins. And he knew at that point, I have to convert. And as I say, these miracles that are before us, these should strengthen our own faith. These should give us a greater conviction of what we are doing ourselves. Why we wear the miraculous medal, why we are a knight of the Immaculata. I offered Mass on the 13th, and again, I bring that up because it is Our Lady, Refuge of Sinners. Here you have this sinner that was completely away from the faith. And Our Lady, in a sense, reeled him in because the miraculous medal. And you have to give credit to then Theodore, this baron who then gives him this miraculous medal and tells him, even though he mocked the Catholic Church, he gives him this miraculous medal and says, just wear it. That's all I ask as a friend. Because he knew he couldn't care less about the medal itself. But he gives it to him and just says, just wear it. Because he knew the influence that it would have over him. As long as he wore it, and as long as he said the Memoraries, he was a convert. And then obviously, as I say, the man who gave his life after saying the 20 Memoraries in the church, I mean, he was dying anyway, but then he sacrificed his life for this man to convert. I mean, think about for him on his judgment day. Through his prayers, through his sacrifice of his life, through these 20 Memoraries, he helped to convert this man who then would go on becoming a priest. And how many souls did the priest help? How much influence then did this priest have over other souls too? And especially those then were trying to convert to the Catholic faith. So the little things that we can do, the little pieces of grace that we try to give to souls, these little seeds, we have no idea how they will blossom. We may not know until Judgment Day itself. But that is why, because of our example, because of what we say, what we do, we can have this influence over other people. But that is why it's important for us to be convicted in what we're doing, to have a true belief in that, so that we could give the miraculous medal, or we could give something to someone and tell them about this special medal. Or when people ask us, what are you wearing? It's like, oh, I don't know. Why do you wear it? Oh, I don't know. We have to understand what we're doing in order to be able to help other souls. And so for that, I mean, yes, it's a small story. This is one of many stories. Obviously, we could probably look at the influence of the Blessed Virgin Mary or the influence of the miraculous medal. There are so many different ones that we can see and we can truly live ourselves. And so I encourage you then to take, especially these feast days of, say, the Blessed Virgin Mary, to have a greater knowledge and a greater love of the Blessed Virgin Mary. To realize that she is our mother, that she is watching over every single soul. Obviously, truly souls that are devoted to her son and to their Catholic faith. But every single soul that she is looking out for. But then also for our own self, of how much of an influence we can be to other people. And something so small as, yes, giving a miraculous medal or asking him to say a prayer. And maybe out of friendship, yes, maybe they might just do that, having no idea what they're doing. But then once they do, Our Lady has them. And so as I say, I leave to you this great miracle, a miracle of faith, a miracle of conversion, to try to strengthen and help us each day. Of as we go out into the world, as we go out and we see sometimes the state of the world around us. Well, maybe this will help us then to have a greater conviction of what we're doing. And then truly we can live the words of St. Maximilian Kolbe says, that we only learn these things on our knees. In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.